Welcome to Comically Comics, your one-stop listen to all things comics. We're talking books, movies, TV shows, video games, and more. I must forewarn you, though, we are a spoiler cast, and what that means is we consider all properties, past, future, and present, to be valid, and we will spoil the hell out of them. I'm your host, Michael, along with my two co-hosts, Richard and Jeremy, and with all that being said, let's get started.
All right, it is Sunday, April 26th, and we are back with Daredevil this week.
Woo!
Woo! Two episodes this week to go ahead and cover it up and get caught back up. And honestly, I don't think that we could have planned it any better to have like two episodes back to back.
I completely agree. That was honestly the thing I was thinking too, like watching these two, is I'm definitely glad that we had the two to watch.
Yeah. Me too. All right. Episode 5, Grand Design. We're going to get the story of Vanessa Fisk, whether or not she survived or not, the encounter with Bullseye. We got this weird back, like, double story with Matt Murdock featuring Poindexter, but then also, like, a lesson that he learned from Foggy and, like, kind of a bad friend that he had. We also get some, we get a nice little side mission with Daniel and Buck. Kind of like in a video game, you know, you got those little side missions and whatnot. So this is this is the Daniel Buck side mission. And whether or not he's going to be alive. So, Jeremy, what is your whelming of this episode?
I will say I'm whelmed to pleasantly whelmed with this episode. Like I said, I'm glad we had the two because this one wasn't. It didn't feel like there was a whole lot going on. I mean, there was definitely like things that we'll talk about and all that, but it was a little bit slower of an episode to me. I'm still on the fence with Daniel. He's still not my favorite. But yeah, I'm whelmed to pleasantly whelmed.
Okay, Richard.
I wrote I was pleasantly whelmed with this episode. I thought it was a fun prequel, like retcon kind of episode. But there was one thing that I kind of had like an issue with.
But still pleasantly whelmed, so that's good. I'm going to echo Jeremy. I am whelmed to pleasantly whelmed. It did a lot of story pushing, but not really a whole lot of, I didn't feel like there was just like a lot for me to like get into and really get excited about. It felt more like we had something that lingered on further than maybe it should. And I don't know if that was like a, I really don't know the reason behind it. All right. Moving into the episode itself, we got Fisk in the hospital and it looks like Vanessa is going to sit there and possibly get some attention. She winds up going into critical care. But after a surgery and all, and we're just kind of waiting to see what happens with Vanessa, Powell comes in. And there's a conversation between Fisk and Powell. And my note for that was, Powell is tasked with the impossible, to bring in Daredevil and Bullseye alive. What, like, what kind of demand is that?
Yeah, I agree. And like, and that was one thing I was going to say too about Powell. Like, there's just nothing redeemable about Powell.
Like, no.
He's even got the most, like, even his little walk was like, I don't know. It was the weirdest walk that his head bobbing inside. Like, I don't know. It was just weird. I was like, that's a goofy walk. And, but yeah, so I'm done with Powell. He needs to be gone. Like, he needs to move on.
Yeah, agreed. Especially, it's next episode that I'm like, nah, he gotta go. Yeah, you're right though, Michael. It is a task of which that only Kingpin would ask, like a super high, almost impossible task. To be honest with you, though, if it's me, I'm asking Buck because Powell's fucking fuckwit, right? In my opinion.
The only thing I can think of is that you're hoping that Powell wears them out even more so than what, like, Kingpin probably may have already know that he's been shot as far as Poindexter. And maybe being like Daredevil's not going to necessarily kill them. Like, the bigger threat is Poindexter. So the only thing that I could think of is that Powell would be able to, like, he already knows that Bullseye, or probably already knows that Bullseye's been shot, so he's weak. And that's, like, that's the one that he's got to worry about is Poindexter. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, maybe with that fact of, like, Poindexter's probably at his lowest, that's the only chance they got right now of being able to get him in alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my wife had made a comment about, like, man, they're sending Powell on a suicide mission.
Good.
Yeah, for real.
I want to know if y'all had the same reaction that I did when the doctor came in to introduce himself to Fisk. And it was like immediately I was like, that doctor's going to die.
Like, oh, that, yeah. No, I didn't.
Yeah. No, yeah, I didn't have that until he came in there whenever the
second episode.
Yeah. He comes in the second episode, but the impact happens at the end of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He comes in at the second episode to give his take on what the impact is, if we don't want to spoil that yet.
Right. And right.
That was where I was like, bro, shut up. You were about to get killed.
Yeah. Just leave. Leave.
I was going to say, you have no options here, man. You have no options.
Yeah.
I have another take on that, though, when we get to that. So I'm curious what y'all's thoughts are on that. I really like the story where this Matt Murdock story, where we're kind of back in time. We're early before Nelson and Murdock was even a thing. And we're Foggy is basically giving Matt a lesson on, like, grace and mercy, and, like, telling him to do his job as a lawyer. Like, it's your responsibility. It's your duty. You know that this is wrong and that you can help your client. So you should do it regardless of what they have done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was a crazy, I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting that take on this. And I like how they intertwine that with the story that at hand with Poindexter. And bringing Matt back to roots.
Yeah. My issue with that is that was very... that's my one issue with this episode, is that it's so out of character for Matt.
I agree. It kind of made him look very unhinged and very, like, on the dark side.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he would be Daredevil at that point.
No, he's not, because all these scenes are before the Netflix, and it leads literally right up to the first episode on Netflix.
Oh, cool.
Because we see the whole art auction thing that Fisk and Vanessa meet at, and the white rabbit in the snowstorm, like, painting. Yeah, yeah.
I like, though, that Foggy made who Daredevil is, kind of thing. Does that make sense? Like, without this idea of, like, the not being so hard, like, Daredevil could have been a whole different thing. You know what I mean? In this iteration of Daredevil. I agree with you, though, that it is different than, like, comic book Daredevil.
Well, not just that, just in general, like, they're making more of Foggy being the moral compass for Matt and him remembering, like, moments with Foggy. And the Netflix really didn't do that. It was mostly Foggy bitching about how, like, you can't be Daredevil, Matt. Why are you doing this to yourself? All this stuff. So I'm like, this is retconning 101. And while I do like it, it kind of bothered me at the same time. Cause I like it for the storytelling aspect, like you said, the, like, showing that and then flashing back to all the stuff with him and Poindexter and how, like, he's trying to use the stuff that Foggy taught him in that past moment to use with Poindexter. So, all the, like, Netflix stuff, they brought out, like, everybody from Netflix. Like, we got Foggy back. We got freaking Wesley. Wesley was Buck before Buck became Buck. Like,
right.
He wasn't even in the Netflix show. They retcon that as well as like him interacting with Wesley to like go take out one of these like guys that Matt and Foggy are connected with. And I just thought it was cool. I was like, oh shit, it's Wesley. Wesley's back.
Yeah. Well, and they did. I didn't realize he was part of the Netflix deal.
Yeah, yeah, no, he was Buck before Buck. He was Fisk's right-hand man. Everything Fisk asked went through Wesley.
Oh, I know who you're talking about now. Yeah. The guy that was riding in the van with him, the SUV and stuff like that. Yeah. I didn't remember what happened to him.
He got killed. That's what I was telling my wife. I can't remember if it's season one or season two, but Karen gets captured, and Wesley got her, like, locked up in a, I don't know, some random like basement in an apartment somewhere in New York, and she eventually gets loose and they like have a scuffle. He drops his gun, she grabs it and like shoots him at the last moment and kills him.
Oh,
and she like shoots him like three or four times, like in the chest or something.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I'm glad to know that, like, that's another one of those moments where I know it was in the, I think it's more in the second episode here, but where she, like, it was referencing her doing like whatever she did to Wesley, and I'm like, I don't remember this. Did this happen in this? this one was like, was I supposed to have remembered who this was? And I just don't. But yeah, I'm glad to know that because I haven't watched any of the Netflix stuff, so glad to know it was in that, not something that I've watched and just forgot.
Yeah,
the Netflix stuff is so good.
The first season, you were not reliant on watching the Netflix. This one is starting to heavily lean into the continuity of Netflix. And I'm like, uh-oh. Like, not that it's a bad thing. I'm just like, that may mess up some people. Because my wife is the same way. I think she maybe watched season one, but she was like, what are they referring to? And I had to, like, explain all that. And anyway.
Maybe just picking little things here and there. That won't be too bad.
Yeah. There is a moment where Kingpin's talking about his like crime empire and how they need to diversify. And he asks about Bitcoin, which which was weird because Bitcoin, I don't think, had existed when that season started. And I just thought it was funny where he was like, we can no longer think old fashioned. We have to think more outside the box and be more modern. And I was like, says the guy wearing a pinstripe suit. and my wife was mentioning, she's like, yeah, I mean, does that suit come with a Tommy gun or like?
Well, and then like. We need to quit being old fashioned. We need to diversify. And he's talking about digital currency. But they settle on art. And I'm like, well, we just didn't do anything, did we?
Yeah, exactly.
We just did the same old, same old.
I hear those apes are quite profitable. Those ape paintings. What are those things called? I forget what those things are called.
The hear no evil, see no evil, speak
no
evil.
The like weird digital art, the like where it was all different paintings and they were like NFTs. That's what they're called. Non-fungible.
Oh yeah.
I hear the NFTs are profitable right now. And I say that because they're like tanked now. They're like not worth shit now.
Right? Right. That's funny. I want to shift gears a little bit because there's a lot of back and forth the whole time. Vanessa's in and out. You don't know if she's going to make it or not, kind of thing. But there's this side story going on with Buck and Daniel. Buck lures Daniel out of the hospital. He's really concerned and upset about all this that's going on. He's kind of told BB that Vanessa's in critical condition. That's made the news now. And so that's a whole thing there. And Buck's like, hey, I need a hot dog. Take me to go get a hot dog. And so they start going on this journey. Well, it's not to get a hot dog at all. It turns into like this Daniel, this interrogation. And they make a side stop at this mom and pop store and pick up a shovel and a reciprocating saw. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that thing was battery operated or not. Regardless of that, how on earth is Buck planning on getting power to that battery or that saw and it lasting? I just
maybe it's a plug-in one, and the SUV he picked has one of those, like,
it's a Chrysler 300.
Yeah,
that he's in.
I don't know. I didn't remember looking at the vehicle, but I'm saying is maybe he's got like a power converter in the back that can run like 120 volts or something.
Yeah.
Maybe. I was going to ask you, Jeremy, I know you're a car guy. What'd you think of Daniel's ride? I was smitten by it.
Yeah, it was an S. So, I mean, you know, it's got some power in it. So,
right.
It's got the Hemi.
Yes. That's great. I couldn't tell if it was a 200 or a 300. By the size of it, though, I thought it was a 300.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 300.
I mean, if you're working for Fisk, you'd go for 300, not two.
So easily.
One of the things that bugged me, though, when he was like, hey, let's go get a hot dog. And then they're like driving, and then he's like, we're not going to get a hot dog. I'm like, yeah, dude, you live in New York. Like, you don't drive to get a hot dog. Like, yeah. You just walk down the street. That should have been your first dead giveaway.
Daniel is in a hard time in his life right now. He's trying to figure out what's going on and trying to stay alive.
They do this weird flip-flopping about how, like, he's smart, but also he's incredibly stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just not a fan of this Daniel side story that much. Like, it's not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
They finally make Daniel and Buck finally make their way to a wooded area, and Daniel's like, it's over for me. And he starts giving this plea, basically, of like, I'm here for it. I'm going to stay, like, want to stay alive, all this other jazz. And then Buck starts responding back with like how lucky he's got it in this job that he's in and how he can be taken care of and all this other kind of jazz, and looking for loyalty to Fisk and like what that looks like. He pops the trunk open, only to reveal the shovel back there, the reciprocating saw, and a dead body. Who was that? I don't even know who that was in the trunk.
Really?
Thank you.
It's Christoph.
Oh, okay.
In the Christoph. Previous episode, I think it's because we waited an episode to read Time Runs Out. But yeah, it's Christoph, the guy he killed in the last episode.
Christoph.
Yeah, the
boat guy.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I'm mad. I thought it was going to be BB.
That was what I was thinking too.
It should have been BB. Like, if they wanted to add some like super tension here, it should have been BB. Not that she's dead. She's tied up in the back. And then Buck is like, all right, now you got to make a decision.
Yeah.
It's either her or you.
Yeah. Well, it's either her or both of y'all.
Yeah. But I'm saying like, I'm saying like, that's the choice. Buck's obviously like, I'm killing both of y'all. Like,
yeah.
Right. I will say they're still adding tension with the whole BB thing. Buck's trying to coach him up a little bit, especially in the next episode that we'll be talking about. And there's a nice little interaction there. So they're still trying to like kind of push on that. They're just not pressing on it, I think, hard enough.
Mm-hmm. The last note I had was just when Matt brings back Poindexter to the hideout that him and Karen are in, which is Frank's hideout. I was like, oh shit, Matt's sleeping on the couch with the cockroaches. Cause like Karen gave him the dirtiest look, like the dirtiest eat shit and die look.
Karen needs to hold up some, okay? I'm tired of her attitude. I'm tired of her stance on all this. Karen, she's been getting on my nerves. I'm just letting y'all know right now. I haven't liked her from the start of this season, and I'm just even more so. I'm like, Matt, leave her. Matt, leave her. Matt, leave her. Just leave her. Just leave her out there, Matt.
I was fine with her, like, we've got to kill, but I was very annoyed with Matt's like, oh, we can't, you know, that's not justice, that's revenge. And I'm like, yeah, Matt, I agree in the sense of, like, you know, whatever, it's some criminal normal, but like with Poindexter and Fisk, it's yeah. the whole Batman and Joker thing. Yeah. It's like every yeah. time you don't kill Joker and he goes out and kills somebody, that person's life is on you, Batman. Like,
yeah.
And that's one of those. It's just like, no, nah, I'm on Karen. I'm team Karen full the way. Like,
yeah.
Like fucking put a bullet in Poindexter and be done with it. Like, and say some fucking Hail Marys and she'll be fine. Like,
yeah, I will. I know it's more into this next episode, but yeah, I kind of agree more on that too, where she's talking about, hey, like, yes, you leave this person alive, but what about, like you said, that trail that comes after leaving mm-hmm. them alive?
Right.
I mean, how can you be okay with that? And so,
right.
Yeah. And okay. Well, even like, because it even comes to the whole, like, the same situation of at the end, towards the end of the second episode where Daredevil's, they're talking, and he even mentions, like, some along the lines of, like, what if we had never met or things like that? Like, what if this situation mm-hmm. never happened? Well, same thing. Like, as far as these other deaths that could possibly come, if you leave this person alive, I mean, and not to say what, I mean, I don't know. To me, that's just saying the same thing, just in a different form.
Especially when the whole time Poindexter on this journey to get back to Frank's hideout is like, we are who we are. We just are who we are, Matt. There's nothing you can do about it. Nothing I can do about it. That's the way the cards are.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's also on like a weird like suicide trip. He's like, he's just wanting to like basically like clear his conscience so he can just die. And I don't know, yeah. like in his eyes, go to heaven or whatever, like finally be cleansed of his like evil doings.
Yeah. I do want to touch on two more things. And first one being on their trip back to Frank's deal, they stop by the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And Task Force, I guess, caught wind of the church, and so they went to go raid it. And they found a blood spot where Poindexter was, but there was no Daredevil, no Bullseye, no nothing. And then they hem up the father there, the priest, and asked him, or the priest in training, whatever he was, where they went. And my question is, does that father make it out of that, are they alive, or did they just totally screw him over?
There's no body.
I'm going to say he probably got arrested. That's my theory.
He got beat up.
I'm sure he got beat up and arrested. Like, these guys clearly don't believe in, like, you know, Miranda rights. So I'm assuming that he's like, they beat the shit out of him and threw him in like another one of those like cages in Red Hook or something.
Oh man, got roughed up. That's no good. Also, when Vanessa woke up, she wanted pineapple juice, and it sure as hell took them a long time to get her pineapple juice. It looked like,
yeah,
that was.
I'll be honest with you, that's accurate right now. Like, as someone who has recently had a loved one in the hospital and like just need, like, hey, can I get her a Coke or something? It like takes forever.
I mean, I guess it was worth the wait. She says it was divine, but mm-hmm. still, to finish this out, did y'all think that Vanessa was going to make it and have amnesia, or did y'all think she was going to die?
Well, during that episode in the middle there, I wasn't sure. I was on the fence about if she would make it or not. But whenever she did start coming awake, I did wonder if like her personality or some kind of thoughts would be changed. I was waiting for something to happen. And then whenever that pineapple juice thing happened, I was like, ooh, wonder what this is going to, like, what's going to transcend from this. And like, so I was not surprised by the whole change there, because I mean that thing was like right in her temple, so I figured that had to do something there.
Yeah, I thought for sure that it was going to be like an amnesia thing, and then they were going to play with that for like the rest of the season of like she doesn't even remember that Kingpin, bitch. That Kingpin was like the kingpin of crime. So I thought maybe they were going to deal with that and her being like, what? You know, you're a criminal and something like that. Mm. But then, of course, they pull the rug out from under us.
I thought the same kind of thing. I didn't think that far and deep, though. That would have been really good. This whole like she could have fell out of love with him because she didn't realize the man he was kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like that would have been, that could have been something cool to do. But yeah, I was like, okay, well, she's going to have some kind of whatever problems and we're going to go through that. Nope. We just did this whole episode, gave you this whole back story and everything, get you all caught up of how all this started just to kill her off. She's dead. I thought she was dead to begin with. I was like, oh, she died in the ring. She's been dead. And then they brought her back, and I was like, oh, and they're just playing with my emotions now.
Now, is she officially dead? We need your official take.
Oh, she's dead.
Okay,
she's dead. There's a body. That woman is dead. She is, she's there. No, there was a casket. There was a funeral. She is dead.
Okay. Now, she's not going to call North us, right?
No, okay. No. But I will say it was not an open casket. So that does kind of worry me, but still, I'm going to land.
Oh, no.
I'm going to land on she's dead.
Yeah, no, I think she's dead too. I hate it though, because I like Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin, and I don't even know her name, the actress who plays Vanessa, but I like the actress who plays Vanessa. They are not good people at all. Like, I don't think they're good, redeemable people, but right. I like their characters, and I hate to see her go, honestly. I wish she'd be around for more seasons.
Yeah. I think it goes back to like we're talking about stories and power couples and stuff like that. Like, I agree with you. They're not good people. Like, they are the villains of the story. But as a team, they work really well together. So it's nice to see I think it's just nice to see a married couple like just working really well together.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, he's going to burn the fucking world to the ground now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it does kind of lead us into the next episode, if y'all are ready for that.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Episode 6, Requiem. We've got Daniel and BB celebrating Daniel's birthday. Of course, we've got like Kingpin mourning the death of Vanessa. And kind of like, is Kingpin like fully back now? Like, are we reverted all the way back to like original before there was anything Kingpin? Just by some of his actions?
And they should have had Echo come back in and heal this trauma.
No. Oh, no. She at least has a better costume than White Tiger right now. I'm just saying. We also got Karen wants to kill Poindexter. And we've got Charles. He's grasping at straws here, trying to like regain control and power. We've got Matt destroys guns with another character that they brought back from Netflix, which was pretty exciting. And all hell pretty much breaks loose there by the end of the episode. So, Jeremy, what is your whelming on episode 6?
I am pleasantly whelmed. I thought it was a really good episode. Still, I'm just the whole Daniel thing, I'm just whatever. But yeah, the funeral part, that was really good. I mean, Vincent D'Onofrio, like his acting is insane throughout all this. I mean, he just does an amazing job portraying all the emotions that he's dealing with and all that. So I think, I think that was great. And yeah, we like we were talking about earlier, Doctor should have never come in the room with him. So, yeah, pleasantly whelmed. It was a good episode.
Nice. Richard?
I wrote I was pleasantly to overly whelmed with this episode. It was a really great episode, but it was very nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but like my nerves were shot by the end of the episode.
I think I'm there with you. I was pleasantly overwhelmed, or pleasantly to overwhelmed as well. A lot of stuff that I really liked, a lot of stuff that I wanted to see in this episode. Story moved really good. And there was some nerve-wracking things just happening. Just a lot of tense moments. So the episode started off with a funeral. The episode started off with Doctor coming in to give its condolences to Fisk. And I was like, you're going to die. You're going to die.
Yeah.
There's no way you make it out of this hospital alive. I don't care that you're nice and friendly. You, sir, are going to die. However, I didn't think he was going to die like that, like by a bear hug. Like I did not have that on my bingo card at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought he was going to like choke him out or something, but yeah. The thing that like my wife was even like, she's like, you're going to die. Like, what are you doing? Shut. She was like, if I'm the doctor, she's like, I don't care if I tried to save Vanessa's life. She's like, if I'm the doctor that tried to save her and then failed, I'm changing my name and moving to a new state.
Yes, and absolutely.
It led me into this like long thing that I'm going to sort of get into is like the thing that I don't understand in this universe with the Daredevil Born Again series is by the end of season one, Netflix Daredevil, Matt defeats Kingpin and Kingpin gets arrested as the Kingpin of crime and he gets put in prison. And season two, he's in prison.
Yeah.
And it's like everybody in the Born Again series just completely and totally like Wong or Strange just erased everybody's memory that he was the Kingpin of crime. And I'm like, bro, like, don't approach him. Like, even if you didn't think he was like strong enough to kill you with a bear hug, it's like he'd hire someone to murder you and your entire family.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Like, you better be going on sick leave. Mm-hmm. And moving. You are no longer Dr. Yabba Dabba Doo.
Yeah.
You are somebody completely different from now on.
Oh,
and you're going to be, I don't know, selling hot dogs or something. I don't know what you're doing, but you're not doing this anymore.
And then Daniel will find you and then you'll die.
Speaking of Daniel, I just want to touch on that story real quick because it's kind of like here and here we're done. And there were some interesting things that I found in Daniel's room as well. Daniel's birthday was here, and BB wanted to go and celebrate with Daniel. Daniel was going to go visit his mom. BB kind of invited herself to go to do a birthday party. And they go and they celebrate. Daniel winds up finding the chip in her pocket, and that leads to a whole nother deal of like trust and whatnot like that. And as BB was going through, like, looking at Daniel's room. He's a big sports fan, number one. But two, there's this one poster that's, like, over his bed that's Public Enemies. And it's, like, all the, like, 20s mob gangsters.
Yeah, yeah, all the mob guys, yeah.
And I'm like, ah, there's your ambition right there.
He also had a How High poster as well. Because it's a very like, it's just like the corner of the poster. Like you could just barely see it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So yeah, I think there's a lot of like Daniel's kind of, I don't know. We've talked before about like Daniel possibly being Italian or something like that. Mm-hmm. He does kind of give off these like Goodfellas movies vibes. So like he may not be Italian, but like, you know, you could be a Goodfella kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with the Public Enemies, his mom, where they're living, she's so proud of a little boy and being with Kingpin and all this, or Mayor Fisk. So, I definitely get the Goodfellas vibes here.
It gave off a lot of Penguin and his mom from the Penguin series.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
That's a good reference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing the thing that annoyed me, though, was the fact that he finds the SD card in BB's jacket, because I was like, one, why didn't you take that SD card out? And then two, it is a bit of a leap in logic on Daniel's part to assume that it contains footage for the City Without Fear broadcast, because she's a reporter and she probably, like all reporters, have those like little mini recorders or whatever. So it could have just been audio from that. But I get that we only have like three more episodes. So they're like, we just got to move this along for the confrontation.
And like, that was several days ago too. Like, or at least I would think it was like in their timeline. And then, so it's just like, why would it still be in your, like, that doesn't make sense at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought that one had too many, like you were explaining, I think that one had too many holes to it.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with all that. But in Daniel's defense, when he confronts her, she doesn't try to lie or nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, there's no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's my point is I think the writers were just like, we just got to get to the confrontation part of it. We only got three more episodes. But I think there's a better, like, where she's like dipping and dodging, whatever his accusations. And they just didn't do it. It was kind of, I felt like there was a better way to do more drama and confrontation there, but
yeah. And at the end of their talk or whatever, he's upset and he's like, you fucked us. You fucked everything over, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know if I can protect you anymore. And at that point in time, Buck is calling. He's like, I don't know if I can protect you from him. So do either one of them die by the end of this TV show?
By the end of this season?
This season. How about that? By the end of this season.
I mean, I hope BB doesn't. I don't care about Daniel.
I think that, yes, he is probably going to die at the end of this season. And I don't think it's going to be BB, only because the Ben Urich died in Netflix. So I don't think the writers want to kill off BB Urich as well. And it would add to more drama with BB of like, oh, I got my friend killed by doing this like reporting stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. That's a good pull. I agree. Yeah. Cool. Well, the episode, the Kingpin part was the whole like funeral and whatnot like that. But then we kind of kicked it into another gear when we kind of zoom into this house. This little kid's playing with like a talk and spin thing. And all of a sudden there's agents, these mercs that come to the house. And this, we don't see the lady, but she walks outside. And there's just people starting to be flung everywhere. Blood on windows. She's going to have to hire somebody to clean them windows. I'm just saying. Yeah. Like, just a grenade gets thrown in. This little girl starts walking around the whole house with this grenade. And then through the door, sweetie, you can't play with this. It's not a toy. It's Jessica Jones. I was pretty excited to see her come back.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I was too, just to find out who the heck she is. Yeah, I've been talking her up, and I was just like, all right, I'm excited. And so I guess that leads into my question of, like, is she a mutant? Did she get her powers somehow? Like, what is that? Like, and what exactly are her powers, or does she have powers?
She
kind of, like, talks about it almost like it makes it sound like it's, like, turning on and off her powers.
Yeah, that's the thing that I don't remember. I don't remember that at the end of Jessica Jones season 2. So I think that's something they're doing for the Daredevil Born Again series. That was a whole thing. My wife was like, she was like, isn't she precog? And I was like, what? No. And she was like, well, he mentioned something about like how they pull one over you. Like, you would have seen them coming. And I'm like, yeah, but she's not precog. And then she's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yes, she's not. Like, I went to like the wikis and like looked up her power set and everything. And I'm like, there's no like precognitive ability that she has. I think they're referring to the fact that she you know, she used to be an investigator and she's kind of like a spy, if you will. And yeah. she has like super strength and everything. So he's like, how did a bunch of gun toting, you know, guys that, like you said, mercs, pull one on you? And anyway, but back to your question, Jeremy, she gets in a car accident and then she gets to the hospital and they inject her with something to help save her life. It gives her superpowers after that. Her superpowers are she is really durable, but not necessarily like bulletproof or, you know, like Hulk level, or even her husband or lover or baby daddy. I don't know. But Luke Cage, she's not bulletproof like him. She has super strength. She's very, very strong. Because of that, she's like faster than normal people. It says that she has super speed, but it ain't like the Flash kind of super speed. It's just because she's super strong and she can jump really high because of that. And the other thing that they make jokes in the show is that she cannot fly. She can float.
What?
Yeah. She falls with style.
Oh, okay.
I like, didn't realize that. That's funny.
Yeah, they made a joke in the Jessica Jones series where her and Kat were like talking and she's like, come on, you can fly. And she's like, I can't fly. I can float. Or she says something like, I can glide. So like, that's the thing, is she can like flea jump really high and then just sort of like float down.
That had to have been season two, because I didn't watch all of season two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, that's pretty much all of her like power backstory. And then if you want to get into more of who the character is, honestly, I'd go watch the first season because it's great.
Okay.
Yeah. It's got what's the doctor's name?
David Tennant.
David Tennant. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got David Tennant as Purple Man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really good. It's one of the best. So seasons, as far as like this, the Netflix Marvel stuff or whatever, like season one of Jessica Jones is one of the best.
Yeah.
As far as what you're saying about the powers turning on and off, she talked about that a little bit when having a meeting with Daredevil, and she says it's ever since her daughter Danielle was born. And so like I said, I didn't watch season two of Jessica Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I did watch The Defenders, though, and she didn't seem to be pregnant or have Danielle then.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume like all this is pretty much new for the Born Again and MCU.
Yeah. I couldn't remember. I thought I remember her mentioning something about being pregnant, like early days pregnant. Like she's not showing right now, but...
Mm.
But yeah, obviously it's fast forward. The kid's born now, and it's clearly Luke's and hers child. There's even, we'll get into it, but there's a mention of something else that kind of implies that like Mr. Charles is connected to like Luke Cage and her and all this.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's talk about that. Because there's a meeting on a rooftop with between Matt and Jessica, and we're kind of getting like the backstory rundown of like what's happened and why.
Mm-hmm.
And Jessica was like, I thought you told me this wouldn't come to my neighborhood. And he's like, no, it's out of their jurisdiction. She's like, no, it's not these guys. It's somebody else. And she starts going into all the details about kind of what's happened and where everybody's at. And that somebody was, you know, we did get clarification. Charles does work for the government. It's not necessarily a crime boss or anything, but like he is legit, like from the government.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't understand if she was saying that Charles reached out to her and Luke because they're looking for somebody. Like that didn't come off clear to me at all. But somebody was looking for special powered people, and Jessica told him to fuck off, in her words.
Yeah.
But she said not everybody else said that. Mm-hmm. Implying that Luke said yes.
Yeah. I think that's exactly... I think Mr. Charles is working for the government. I wonder if it's Valentina and, like, the Thunderbolts kind of stuff. And they were looking for superpowered people. Jessica didn't want to. Luke, you know, he's always been a quote unquote hero for hire.
Yeah.
So he joined up. And I guess that's this whole, I don't quite know what Mr. Charles is like, the guns and that country that he wants to have the war with. But I don't know if those two are necessarily connected with him and looking for superpowered people, but it just could be that's another mission that he's on right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it was implied that those gunmen that came to her house were some guys that Charles hired to take her out.
And that brings up a whole nother question of why.
Yeah, I don't know. And I have a feeling will probably be one of the things that gets revealed either at the end of this season to set up next season. Or I got a feeling that's what's going to be. We're going to be dealing with Mr. Charles and whatever the hell that's all about in season 3.
I got you. I like Charles overall. There's a scene where he is sitting there talking to, he calls Kingpin up, mm-hmm. and he's trying to figure out where these guns went, because all the guns are now gone. They've gone to, they didn't go to Red Hook. They went to, like, was it Red Hook? Or did they go to, like, some kind of base?
I think it just went to the base that was at, for the AVTF.
Got you. So basically, he was loading up AVTF.
Yes. Yeah. I want to say AVT or ATV, like the four-wheeler.
But they're not, they're all like military grade now, and they've got all kinds of weapons. Mm-hmm. The plan was.
Yeah.
And Charles is, he's so smooth talking and whatnot like that, and just has so much confidence. But then when he gets off the phone with Fisk, he's like, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And it throws his character off for me, because I don't understand it. Because then he goes in the mayor's office and he walks in like he's got clout and all this other kind of stuff. And it's just like, it doesn't match up for me. I'm having a hard time with it.
Mm. It does to me, just because he's very good at faking it till you make it kind of stuff.
Yeah, I guess.
And I think clearly he's not the big boss, so, because he's right. The one going out and doing all the dirty work.
Yeah.
So I think he's like, if I fuck up, I'm going to be dead kind of thing.
Mm, maybe so.
Yeah.
Speaking of fuck ups, Jessica Jones and Matt fucked a lot of shit up at this warehouse where all these guns are. Yeah. I mean, fucked a lot of shit up. Like, I love that whole fight scene. I thought it was great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, and that, I guess, is whenever she, man, she had the moment to get rid of Powell. But, like, then I guess that's whenever her powers just went kaput for a second.
For a split second, though, I was like, what the fuck? Is Powell superpowered? Like,
yeah.
That's what I wondered, like, too. No fucking way.
I'm not going to lie, I'm still kind of questioning it.
Hmm.
Like, oh, really? I know that whole setup was to give you the impression that, like, Jessica Jones, her powers just dropped out.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only did she, like, hit him and it not do anything really, but then he hit her and knocked her down. But at the same time, there was another time after that where he kind of, like, held his hand for a second and they kind of lingered. Like, they lingered on a scene afterwards that gave me the impression that, like, he may have something too.
God, if they do, I'm going to fucking riot.
Yeah.
I need Frank to put a bullet in that motherfucker. Like,
oh, man. I liked all that scene. I thought the choreography was good. I thought it was fun. It was a fun action-packed scene. It didn't linger on too long, and it had point, and they blew the damn thing up, and I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. I liked it as well. Like, you got Jessica's kind of scrappy fighting style where it's just like she tears shit off and just like throws it at people or kicks a thing that like flies across the room and hits somebody. And then you got Daredevil being more like ninja like, and he's whipping his billy club everywhere. And
it
was really cool.
Yeah.
I made a note prior to that, though, that they made a specific shot showing the fucking watch in the gun case or whatever. And I'm like, how the fuck has nobody found that watch yet? And I'm not talking about like they heard it, but like it seems like every time they like show a scene with them loading stuff up, they like open up the crate to make sure it's containing the things that they want. And I'm like, how has no one seen that watch? I mean, like, hey, there's a watch in here.
Fuck that watch. That watch has been the biggest damn disappointment of this whole season.
Agreed. Like, I will agree.
That
I
watch.
I will agree with that. It's like, it's too coincidental now at this point.
Yeah. He just happens to be like, you couldn't even do it where like it was already in the thing. Oh no. Mm-hmm. It was in the truck going in as they were standing there. Fuck off.
Yeah.
So then after that, like, after that whole thing, we get into like 50 Shades of Heather. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what happened there, but that was just, I was like, I think we need like TVMA on this thing, this like scene here or something. Like, that was just all kinds of awkward.
Yeah. No, it was very like, was it good for you? I need a cigarette after this. Like,
that was so weird. And like, I don't know what they're doing with that, but we need to move on from that whole storyline. I'd care less about it. Like, hey, that's right there with Daniel.
I have bad news, but they are absolutely going to make her Muse too.
That's what it seems like.
Electric Boogaloo. Yeah, it does seem like that. It does seem like that, which is like, freaking crazy women on the show. Crazy freaking women on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's too much. It's too much.
Name a more iconic duo than Matt and him being with crazy women.
All we're missing is Electra at this point in time, and she could show up at any moment.
I was going to say, I have a feeling if she ain't showing up by the end of the season, she definitely showing up at the end of season 3.
Yeah. Yeah, probably so.
Speaking of his crazy women, though, there was this funny moment that, you know, we're getting this kind of BS drama with Karen and Matt arguing about the, like, moral ethics of like killing Bullseye and all this stuff, and at one point Matt like rolls his eyes and my wife goes, Karen, I don't know if you caught it, but a blind man just rolled his eyes at you.
How does he even know what an eye roll like means?
Well, I mean, he had vision still as a kid. He lost it at a young
true.
Age.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. It's not like he was born blind. Yeah, you're mm-hmm. right. You're right. That's funny. I didn't catch that.
Mm-hmm.
Before we move on from Heather, though, I want to ask, she picked up like looked like an earring.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What the fuck was that about? I'm missing something there. I don't know what the fuck that was about.
I have no earthly idea.
It's another shade. I don't know.
It's another shade.
The klepto to go along with the strangling.
Right? Yeah. You know, I'm wondering, wasn't there something in season 1 about her missing an earring or something? Like when Vanessa would come and do her like counseling with Kingpin and Heather. Wasn't there something about like an earring missing or something? I vaguely remember something about that, but I don't think it's a callback to that. I kind of wonder, like you said, it's just another like step into this fall, into this weird like muse. Like she's losing her mind.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of hoping they don't try and twist it into a, like how serial killers will sometimes like keep mementos.
Mm.
From like their victims or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm hoping they don't spin it like she feels like she killed Vanessa.
Mm.
Because she didn't.
Yeah.
It's like she didn't even set any of that up.
Mm-hmm.
For it to happen. So I just hope they don't kind of spin it that way, but that's kind of like how I was taking it. Like Vanessa's dead. She needs a memento. And so she took that for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So
I didn't take it as that, but I could see where maybe it's like, because she did have this weird infatuation with Vanessa, so maybe, yeah. Maybe it's not necessarily a memento. It's just a memento in the sense of it's my first victim. It's more of like a way to remember her or something. I don't know. There's better ways of doing that, but right now it's not to be seen, and I don't honestly know if they'll even get to that in this season.
Yeah, maybe not. I'm with you though. They're probably making her the next muse, and that's woo. All right then. You were talking earlier about how they're bringing everybody from the Netflix series back, and I wanted to mention this then, but this scene didn't happen until this episode, and that's when Ayala came in to mend up Poindexter.
Oh yeah, I had the
thing. And I was like, where the fuck is Claire Templeton? Why not bring the night nurse back? What are we doing?
Yeah, there was a line in the last episode where he's like, I know a nurse that can get you patched up. And I wrote a note, and I didn't mention it. I forgot. But I was like, oh, shit, are we going to get night nurse? Are we going to see Rosario Dawson back? And
yeah,
no.
Man. And she's got to have a contract. Like, she's Ahsoka Tana. Come on. She's got to have some kind of contract between all the studios at this point in time.
She could just be busy, like, filming.
That's true. That's true.
I just have one more note, and it kind of deals with the end where, you know, all the rioting in front of the Capitol, and it's mostly about Powell, because I hate that motherfucker, because literally this note says, I fucking hate Powell so goddamn much. Because when he kills the guy that like was like Karen caught and was helping Matt and them, you know, he gets all buddy buddy with him throughout this episode, and I knew it was coming. And then when the like riots at the mayor's like capital or whatever are happening, and he goes over to that guy, and he gets like a phone call from Buck, and he's like, thank you, Buck. And then he grabs him. I forget the character's name, but he grabs the kid, and he's like, I knew it was you, you Fredo fuck. And then just like shoots him. And Cole North is like, Powell, what the fuck, man? And then he's like, you know, whatever. This man, the crowd shot him, and live fire ammunition. And then he starts doing all this stuff. And I'm like, can someone please get this motherfucker's number? I'm so sick of it. Like, I hate him more than fucking Fisk at this point. Well, I don't even hate Fisk. What I'm saying is he's worse villain than Fisk, in my opinion.
Yeah. He's pretty bad. Like, he's one of those. He's a Joffrey for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. Absolutely. I knew that's what they were doing with him.
And watch it just be, what's her name? The new, white tiger, whatever person that she's going to come back in and just take him out real quick, you know, cause they, with, you know, the cliffhanger of this one where Powell's got the gun pointed at Karen.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're wondering, oh crap, is she just going to get shot or what's going to happen here? And yeah, I don't know. Why don't you just be something simple like that where he's just taken out real quick? And I'm like, I don't know. I want it. He's one of those that like, you want him to like to feel the pain, basically.
Yeah, no, he's such a piece of shit.
I don't think we're gonna get that satisfaction there, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't think that's gonna happen. Because even if he's put in a predicament, he just comes off like one of those where he's just gonna sit there and just run his mouth to the end. Like, he's going to be the type, I think, that's going to be, like, just haul off, cut, fuck you, fuck off, blah, blah, like, all this other bullshit. Like, I don't even think he's going to be any kind of remorseful. He's not going to be pleading for his life. None of that. Like, it's just going to be straight up just whatever. So, my opinion. Yeah.
I think just because Frank's not around this season, I hope it's going to be Bullseye that ends up being the one that kills him. Mm. At some point, they find their hideout, and then Bullseye just like kills him finally. But that's just wishful thinking.
Well, I mean, he's alive. He didn't bleed out, so there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of hideouts, we get the finale of this episode with Daredevil meeting Kingpin at his like old dungeon cellar. And because the governor is now taking back Red Hook is what it sounded like. So like he doesn't have that that port anymore to like deliver things in and out of. Kind of seems like Kingpin may be stepping down almost as mayor kind of thing is what the vibes that I'm getting. But Matt comes down there like basically pleading to Kingpin of like, let's stop this, please. You leave, I'll leave. Nobody does anything with New York. We go our separate ways. You know, think if like you were talking about earlier, think if we'd never met Foggy and Vanessa and dumb Matt Murdock, lawyer Matt Murdock, throws off the name of his freshly departed wife, not thinking like did you just you didn't think he just grabbed shit and start throwing at you? Like that wound was just closed enough that he's just not gonna go into a fucking bull rage. Like that was the dumbest shit I think he's ever done other than be with Karen. Like
I figured if anything you'd say Elektra. Because you hate Elektra.
Oh, yeah, her too.
Who do you hate more, Karen or Elektra?
Oh, that's a good one. I feel like I used to like Karen for the most part. Like, she was okay. And then this season, I'm just like, oh, fuck off. Like, Elektra is Elektra. She is the same always. Right now at this point in time, I'd rather have Elektra in there than to watch Karen. She gets on my damn nerves.
Wow. So that'll be it. Like that on this next episode, you get Elektra swoops in to save Karen right there. So you just get both of them all at the same time.
What'll happen is we'll have a Heather, Elektra, and Karen episode is what it'll boil down to. And I have to watch 45 minutes to an hour of those three. And I'm going to just be like, fuck this show. I'm done. Fuck it.
No. That, if anything, it'll be like, Heather is Muse 2 and Elektra and Karen have to stop her.
Yeah. Oh. The words of Dr. Strange are going to Scooby-Doo this shit.
I love that fight between... I thought that was well choreographed. They recreated a very famous cover of one of the Daredevils where he's kneeing Kingpin in the face.
Oh, I didn't know that was the thing. That's cool.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I didn't either. I figured it was like some kind of like notable move just because they really slowed it down and highlighted it. But I obviously didn't know it was a cover.
The comic version, though, of course, it's Kingpin. So he's like, I don't know, the size of a fucking bus. He just like dwarfs Matt in that image or that cover. But it's still cool. I like that they did that.
Yeah.
That I'm glad you mentioned. I didn't notice that. I noticed the slowdown, but I never looked to see. But that's really cool that they did that, considering like all the things we got with the Spider-Man Brand New Day trailer and all those covers. So like, I hope Marvel continues this where they just kind of like throw in these really cool iconic shots more often.
Yeah.
I like this more than when they were hiding like QR codes to like the first appearance of characters. I like this idea better of like they just recreate a really iconic cover or splash page from a comic.
Yeah.
And in the episode, I think that's way cooler in my opinion. I liked the like he destroys the painting as well. Like again, the fighting between them causes the thing that kind of connected Vanessa and Kingpin, and he destroys it.
Yeah,
and so it's yet another like allegory of like the endless fighting is destroying their lives.
Yeah.
No, I thought all the car guard like it was especially like at first because Matt was kind of like, I don't want to do this. Don't make me do this. Very much like his fighting style and all that jazz, the dodging and all that, and just kind of like getting beat there for a minute. And then it was like, you really want to do this? Like, I think he even said that. And Kingpin responded, and he just pulled the billy clubs out, and it's like, all right, fine, fuck you, let's go.
Mm-hmm. It would have been nice if Spider-Man was there, though. I'm just saying.
One last thing on the comic book covers things. I like that they're doing that. You brought up the QR codes. I like that they're doing these visuals for the comic because it brings a whole new appreciation to those probably lesser known books that are out there that you can go and get. And artists, and then if you pick up a book, you're more likely to then read it. So then you get appreciation for those authors and those inkers and colorists and all that other jazz. So I like this where you can take obscure visuals to like bring new life into older medium.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, I agree. It's cool.
Very cool.
It also makes your books probably worth more.
It yes, at yeah. first. Yeah. It does.
There's the real reason right there.
Well, I don't have that one, but I'm going to be looking for it now. Like, I want a copy of that. I want to see what it looks like. So I have no more notes. Do y'all got anything else for this episode?
No, that's it for me.
That's all I got too.
Cool. We'll be back next week with our normal, regular Daredevil review. So here's fingers crossed that Elektra and Heather doesn't show up. That'd be nice. Until then, Jeremy, where can they find you at?
They can follow me on Twitch under the handle Night Fury GTO. That's Night with a K. And you can find me here.
Is it also with a K?
It's with K.
It is with a K. Okay, I just want to make sure.
It's with a K right there. There's a K.
If you want to contact me directly, I have an X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram, a Blue Skies, and a Threads. My handle is Night Curry. Night like day and night, and Curry with a K. With a K. If you want to contact us directly, we have a Gmail. Our Gmail is comicallycomicspodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to check us out on YouTube, possibly TikTok or Instagram, you can check us out under the name Comically Comics Podcast. And if you want to check us out on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, you can check us out under the name Comically Comics with an X.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram at 22comics. You can also find me on YouTube, Instagram. I've totally fucked everything up. And eBay, I believe. Shortbox, 22_comics. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed as much as we did making it. All being said, say goodbye, Jeremy.
Bye, Jeremy.
Goodbye, Jeremy. Goodbye.